The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS, a little Tom Sawyer in studio. And we do this just about every month, is Priscilla Ron. She's the vice chair of the Republican Party here in the state of Colorado, on the VIP line with us right now because the law won't let them be in the same place at the same time. Christy Burton Brown, the chair of the Colorado GOP. How are you doing, Christy? I cannot hear Christy. I'm going to answer for her. You're the best, George. Frankly, I am on a lot of radio shows, but nobody asks more insightful questions than you. Thank you, Christy. I appreciate that. No, go on. I'm gonna hit the X, man, and we can try again, buddy. It says Christy Burton Brown right on there. I'm gonna press the button again. Christy, are you? No, never mind. Oh well. Hello, Priscilla Ron.
Well, hi.
See, here's the benefit of you being in studio is I would watch you ignore me, but I could. You think it's on right now, Billy? Christy Burton Brown. Maybe I'm not saying it right.
Christy Burton Brown?
Christy Burton. No, I don't think I have it. Priscilla Ron? Priscilla, how are things going?
Things are going great. Awesome.
I don't believe
so
you.
So busy.
No, I'm kidding.
No. I mean, as far as school goes, I mean, kids are doing better.
Okay, the school thing matters. Now we are at least 1 year removed from some of the pandemic stuff. Does it feel like you're back to normal?
It does. It does feel like I'm back to normal.
Okay, so school threats and stuff. Did you hear about that in Denver yesterday?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's still activity.
Yeah.
But in my little space, in my little world, things are light years better than they were last year, for sure.
Kids love being back?
I think they do. Yeah. This sixth grade group of kids are amazing. They're so well behaved.
Wow.
I know. We get these waves. We get these waves every few years of a class of students who are just dream students. That's what I feel. This is the sixth grade group is amazing.
It's so easy. You want to give some money back to the taxpayers. You want to give your own Priscilla's Tabor refund in a way.
Well, I gave back by supporting amazing candidates who are going to do amazing things should they be elected.
Look, let's talk about that. I want to get into all the good stuff, but I want to start with an article that I recently read. I think it was the Denver Post that said there are huge disparities in fundraising between the Republican candidates and the Democrat candidates, specifically at the state level. Like, we've never seen a Secretary of State in the state of Colorado raise the kind of money that we use a mock name of Greta Griswold. I'm kidding. Jenna Griswold has raised. Phil Weiser, even back when he defeated me in 2018, that guy raises more money than any attorney. I'm going to say it this way. I'll bet you if you added up every attorney general candidate in this century in Colorado and added up every penny they've raised, Phil has raised more than they have in this election cycle. And then, of course, Jared doesn't have to raise money because he grows it with hydroponics next to his medicinal marijuana, I imagine. But how are we going to combat that? I mean, how do you, in a state that's like Colorado, we're not Texas, how do you combat that?
Well, this is a very important topic because what I say to the public is that small donors, they make great headlines. When you can open your tracer and see pages and pages of small donors of $25 to $100 to a couple hundred dollars, that looks great. But it's the big donors that wins elections. And so we need people to be very generous and support candidates so that they can get their message out. I mean, advertising is expensive. Commercials are expensive. And for us to reach the voter with our message, we need people to be generous as much as possible. And then volunteer. If you don't have, deep pockets, but you have time and you can make phone calls or share posts that candidates post on their social media, door knock, honk and waves. I mean, there are just so many things that people can do to counteract the amount of money that the Democrats are raising. But it's really interesting to see how these how we've gotten here in politics, where candidates can raise so much money, more than what they get paid in the job that they're applying for.
Which is crazy.
For what? For what reason? Why are they
power.
Raising all this money? Exactly.
Power.
And that,
it's
and we
power.
Need to make a change in that.
Chrissy Burton Brown, are you on with us?
I'm here.
Oh, thank goodness. I don't know what the technological issue is, but I'm pretty convinced it was the Dems. I don't know how they did it. But
you know, probably. But, George, I loved how you answered how I was. That was like a great answer. You're definitely the best host and all those good things. Absolutely.
Well, you know, in the past, I've suggested that you were just rolling in from a bar. But I know that's not true. Last night, for sure.
No.
kidding. You heard the question I asked Priscilla. What else? I mean, is the overwhelming financial advantage that the other side has going to be enough for them to hold on to these powerful positions? And I, you know, stuff that other people don't. And that is, even though our mainline candidates here don't have the same funds through the front door, all of these third party
right.
groups that want to see Colorado be saved, they tend to have more dollars. Is that going to be enough to counteract it?
You know, George, I think that's a great question. I think a lot of people are asking it. I couldn't agree more with Priscilla that, like, we need the small dollar donations. We need people who can max out to these candidates to do it. There's still time, quite a bit of time, to do that and have your dollars count towards really targeting a targeted voter outreach. But George, yeah, there's also no question. Phil Weiser, Jenna Griswold, Jared Polis have exponentially more money than our candidates. I think the question for voters is going to be, are they going to allow their vote to be bought? Because that is what Jared Polis, the campaign finance laws he pushed here in Colorado, allow a self-funder like him to spend millions when you can't do that as easily through raising donations from people who believe in you. I do think there's soft money showing up in a lot of these races, though, because, you know, that is allowed here in Colorado. Both sides do it. And people want to see Jared and Jenna and Phil all get out of office because, you know, number one in the nation for auto theft, highest inflation in the nation now, too, at 15.6% in Colorado.
Wow.
So, George, I think there's a lot of questions voters have to ask themselves. And the last thing I'll say is the Dems also tried to dump money in the primary, millions of dollars to prop up the candidates they prefer to run against, and it didn't work. Voters didn't buy it. And they hugely outspent our candidates in the primary as well, and it failed.
It seems like it's worked everywhere else, though. I mean, if you look around the country, a lot of those efforts have gotten the people that the Dems wanted to run against, right or wrong, they perceive them to be the weakest opponents, and they have gotten them everywhere. We just saw it last week in New Hampshire in kind of the last primary of the season, but it didn't happen here. Let me ask you about Joe O'Day, who is our Republican nominee, and I think stands a good chance of pulling this off. I mean, Bennett hasn't started to spend a ton of money yet just on that fishing ad thing, but Joe O'Day goes on to meet the press with Chuck Todd, which, as everyone knows, is a super conservative outlet. No, I'm kidding. Is that a good move for Joe O'Day to go there? And if he's going there, why? I mean, beyond his wife's love of that show, and I listen to it every week too, why go on that show, in your opinion, Priscilla? What do you think? And then I'll ask you, Chrissy.
Because we have to reach every single voter. I mean, look at Colorado. We're extremely diverse. Opinions are wide. And Joe O'Day is a great candidate, and he has a message. He has something to say. And why not go on every opportunity that our candidates have to go out into the community and talk to voters and counteract the negative narrative of the left and talk about the failed policies and records of the left? I think it's a great idea. He should go and talk to – he should go everywhere and talk to every voter.
Christy, you know, O'Day's Achilles heel during the primary was the position on abortion that probably, at least in the general, matches more closely with that part of the electorate that we need in order to win the seat. Does it run the risk, in your opinion, as you go around the state, of alienating some of the base from coming out and voting? Or are they going to vote for him no matter what because they're just so desperate to see a change?
You know, George, I think that's a mixed bag. I mean, if there's no secret. It's no secret that I disagree with Joe O'Day on his stance on abortion. I believe we are the pro-life party. We believe that every single life has value, not just some. We believe in saving all children. So, you know, and I've talked to his campaign and him himself at length about this issue. I believe he needs to move on that point and become more pro-life. All of that said, I think you talk to Republicans around the state, some of whom do have a problem actually voting for a Republican who's pro-choice. I mean, let's be honest about it. There's Republicans who have a problem with that. There's also, I would say, far more Republicans who say, we have two choices in November. Either our senator will be Michael Bennett or it will be Joe O'Day. And even if you take the life issue, we do know that Joe O'Day is better than Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett voted to do the Chuck Schumer bill that would have forced abortion until the day of birth on every single state across the nation. Joe O'Day would vote no on that. Michael Bennett wants to fund Planned Parenthood. Joe O'Day has said he's against taxpayer funding of abortion. He's against late-term abortion. He would vote to confirm good justices on the Supreme Court, all things Michael Bennett would fail to do. So I think as a pro-life Republican, it is still clear that Joe O'Day has a better position on the issue than Michael Bennett, and one of the two of them will be our senator in November.
We're talking with Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron Chair and Deputy – is it Deputy Chair?
I'll be a deputy.
What do we call it? Something chair? Assistant chair? Vice chair. God, I knew there's a word. I almost changed it to Commodore because I love that title. I don't even know what that title means, but if we could have a Commodore of the GOP, you'd be perfect for it. I want you to wear one of those hats, the old Navy hats with the Commodore, you know, where it's like just comes down on the sides. I think that, listen, off air, we're going to have to talk about some rule changes because I think this is an important one. We're talking with Priscilla and KBB from the party. When you go out there and talk again, you know the narrative is constantly being pushed about Dobbs and abortion. That's the whole thing. And we know from polling that it's starting to show up for some folks as a big issue, but you cannot get past the crime tsunami that we're at. You can't get past the economic things that you've talked about. The other issue that the Dems and the mainstream media are trying to push now are the efforts by Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott from states not here to ship people who come across the border to other parts of the country. Christy, are you hearing folks in our party talking about that? And if so, in what context? Is it helpful, hurtful, distracting, in a good or a bad way?
You know, I think it's helpful. And I think that's one good thing that Joe O'Day also talked about, in addition to fentanyl, was its relation to the open border crisis and what governors of Florida and Texas are doing in sort of exposing and making it known to people across the nation that the drug crisis that exists here in Colorado, our crime wave, drugs showing up at our kids' school, number two in the nation for fentanyl overdose deaths, is largely caused because of the open border that Joe Biden and the Democrat policies have caused. So I think Joe O'Day highlighting that, I think John Kellner, running for attorney general, has said that he would sue the Biden administration over their open border and the way that's badly affecting us here in Colorado. That those kind of messages only help us with voters who are terrified of drugs showing up at their kids' school and their kids accidentally overdosing on fentanyl, which is happening.
Yeah, the fentanyl isn't growing here in Colorado. It's not being made here in the neighborhoods in the Denver metro area. It is coming from down south, along with apparently 2 million other people this year. Priscilla, yeah. In terms of the other races that are out there, Joe O'Day is a huge one. But Heidi Ginnall, I mean, listen, I love Heidi. I want to see Heidi win. But throughout this entire campaign, I've just had this feeling like, how do you compete in a state like Colorado against a dude who, one, has a mainstream media that rolls over more than not and holding him accountable for his flip-flops, but he also has the ability to pull out a checkbook that would just swamps any potential fundraising effort, even by third parties. And yet I just heard about a poll here where she's closed the gap at least within 4 points. How do we get into the end zone when this guy is just starting to spend money?
You opened with the question about money, and I'm going to come back to it and say, yeah, we need people to open their pocketbooks and invest in our future. When we give to Heidi, and if Heidi wins, we all win. And so we can't run as governor, but Heidi's running for us, and we need to get behind her and support her 100%. Heidi is our best chance of bringing common sense solutions back to Colorado. And she's, you know, as a small business entrepreneur who has grown her business, and Danny the same. I mean, what great character when we're in an economic inflation situation where people are trying to build their lives and their future and build prosperity. And you've got two people running who understand how to build successful businesses and who are giving back and want to help other small businesses grow so that they can have a future for their children. That's a stark contrast to who we have in office right now, who's using his money to basically deceive and lie to the voters of Colorado. I mean, I can't respect a politician who does one thing and signs bills into law that hurt and damage the people that are mostly impacted, which are the minority community and the poor community. What has he done to help us? And I don't see a track record of helping those who are mostly impacted. And that's not fair. It's just he's not a fair politician, and he lies and he does one thing and then he flip flops. And people need to know that. And that's the big message. Like, do we really want someone at the helm that we can't trust and who's not making good, sound decisions for us?
He is really smart and he is really politically shrewd. And those two things shouldn't be enough, even with his money, shouldn't be enough to defeat a vigorous media that should hold him accountable for the things that you've talked about, Priscilla. But when you just mentioned the flip-flop stuff, and he does it largely with impunity, you can't even count on one hand all the times that just spring to mind right away, whether it was the, hey, I'm going to make sure that I distance myself from all of my investments when I become governor. Well, we know that didn't happen. Nobody ever talks about that again. Maybe Sean Boyd did once. But then, you know, everything moves on. He says, hey, I want to have Proposition CC and take away all of your Tabor refunds. And then earlier this year is like, you know what? I can read the tea leaves, man. I can make some hay out of this. Changes it to Colorado cash back, whatever that is, at least the way he pronounced it, and then gives it back. We know that he signed a bill making the possession of up to 4 grams, that's 2,000 deaths worth of fentanyl, a misdemeanor. And then this year, a year later, I mean, I think the ink is drying on that other thing, announces fentanyl's like anthrax. We should make it a felony. And then the latest one, it just happened last week, is that he had 2 years ago written a letter to the CCJJ, the Colorado Commission on Juvenile Justice, and had said, hey, we really need to focus on sentence reform. We really need to do a lot to decrease the impact on folks. They changed the law, watered down the penalties for what you said, Priscilla. You talk about working class families. The penalties for stealing someone's car, if it's valued at less than $2,000, is the same as a DUI. In fact, it may be less than a DUI if you steal someone's means of transportation. That turns out to have helped lead this explosion in car thefts, as KBB pointed out, number one in the country. By the way, I think going to be 2 years in a row we're going to own the number one spot. We get the gold. I think he's shrewd enough and smart enough. You can see he acts not just on a whim. He can read Colorado pretty well. And you know this thing is getting traction because he wrote a letter to that same CCJJ last week, and the whole letter was, my God, we need to do something about car theft. We need to go back and start sending these people to prison. And, oh, my God, we should stop judging the level of the crime based on the value of the vehicle. So this stuff is all picking up traction. But my guess is you never heard what I just said to you from the mainstream media. Nobody has, because nobody reports on it.
They're protecting him, and he didn't have the foresight as a quote-unquote leader to predict that his poor decisions were going to hurt Coloradans, everyday Coloradans, the way he did. And if he did have the foresight, he didn't care. And so that's my takeaway from these last 4 years, is that we have a sitting governor that doesn't care about me. And I don't think he cares about the average everyday person. I mean, in his Boulder, how many of those homes have been rebuilt by the fire? What has he done?
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous. You know, it's like he can put his energy and money behind doing good things, but it's just one thing after another that he has done that has damaged and hurt Coloradans. And I don't think he cares. I think all he has is his own self-interest in mind. And it shows in the decisions that he makes. And then the closer we get to the election, you start to see headlines come out to try to make himself look like the good guy and the savior. He's not the savior. He's the one who created the problems. And the Democrats down at the Capitol who support him have done the same.
I will say I am willing to concede. I think the guy cares about Colorado, but it's a Colorado that you and I don't recognize. It's a Colorado that we didn't grow up in. And Christy, I know you grew up here too. The Colorado that he wants and those that support him wants is California. It's not really Colorado.
Exactly. That's very true, George. I think he's, you know, creating what he wants, his bolder ideal of what Colorado should look like. And what you and Priscilla were both saying is so correct. In an election year, he is reversing himself. He's suddenly writing letters to the EPA saying that requirements on gas in Colorado is going to drive prices up. I mean, where was he when that was actually happening? Where was he on Tabor? He's now claiming to give Tabor refunds when he fought to stop those refunds. He's now saying, you know, the law on auto theft should be reversed because so many auto thefts are happening now.
And he just signed it. Dude just signed it.
He literally just signed it in 21.
This isn't exactly. Like, hey, I'm going back and correcting the errors of my predecessor. This is like I'm correcting the errors of me a year or two ago. It's amazing.
Well, he did the same on fentanyl. As you know, George, he decriminalized fentanyl. And in the same bill, decriminalized heroin and meth and cocaine, which remain decriminalized up to 4 grams in Colorado. They did not fix that in the fentanyl bill. And so actually, not only is fentanyl exploding across the state, but so is meth use and cocaine use. Number one in the nation for cocaine use here in Colorado. He didn't fix that one.
I don't understand why the media in a let's call it Next on 9 News. I just made that show up. I don't know if it exists. But in a sit down with the host of that show, and he asks them, why did you twice sign legislation that allowed convicted drug dealers and car thieves to have guns in Colorado? Go. And like, why don't we get that question of him so that he can answer that? Even the attorney general couldn't figure out how to answer that question. First denied he'd had anything to do with it. And then after it was brought forward, then shifted his gear. And all of a sudden, and you probably know this, he's no longer the chief law enforcement official of the state of Colorado. He's a collaborator and a coach.
Well, and when you're a coach that loses games, you get fired. If he can't even defend his own website, how is he going to defend you and me from criminals? Oh, no, he's a friend of the criminals. That's what I say.
Ask Herm Edwards. I mean, Herm Edwards got cut loose from ASU after losing by double digits to Eastern Michigan at home. That's what happens to coaches who fail. They get rid of coaches. They bring in new people to do it. And that's where we're at. I've, of course, taken both of you very, very long on this. I appreciate it. Let me give you just a second, though, to wrap up. If I forget to ask something that you thought was important, KBB, tell us what it is.
Yeah, George, your questions are always great. Great host, great questions, all the good things.
It's like I'm giving the answer.
What we need. Exactly. What we need, though, is people to start to join us on the Super Saturdays, on the walk days with our candidates. And then make sure your Republican friends and neighbors turn in their ballots. Ballots are going to start coming in mailboxes kind of soon. So make sure people have a plan to vote and that no Republican vote is missed this year. That's going to be essential.
Priscilla, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. We need the turnout to be great this year. Encourage your neighbors. Talk to someone that's not a conservative and ask them if they know what's been happening. A lot of people are so busy. I talk to Democrats all the time every day because I'm a teacher, who have no idea about legislation that's been passed. And when I describe it to them, they're shocked. And a lot of people just are too busy to know what's happening. And so we have to talk to people and encourage them to support our candidates and donate, 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 volunteer, knock doors, share, share, share. Yeah,
I'm burning Priscilla's face off with the beautiful sunrise coming through the wonderful blinds that are about 80% effective. So I'm sorry for that retinal damage, Priscilla, if you can picture her staring directly into the sun as she's talking to me. KBB, Priscilla Ron, as always, thanks for this. We'll have you back mid-Octoberish, right before the ballots head out. By the way, I hope by then we'll know whatever that October surprise is going to be. I want to know what it is. I'm excited to know. Thanks for coming on.
Great.
Thanks, KBB.
Thanks, George.
Thanks,
good
George.
Talking with you. Priscilla, thank you so much. Hey, listen, when we come back, I'll get to some of the texts that have been coming in here and address some of the issues that have come up. If you have thoughts on Heidi, Joe, John, any of those races, you give us a call at 303-696-1971. I don't want to cut away, though, before I tell you about a superstar, and that is a guy named Dan Kaplis. Dan's not just a former employer and a friend, but he's a guy who has for decades now been a champion for victims of the kind of conduct that leads to life-changing outcomes. And I'm talking about catastrophic injuries for you or a loved one, the kinds of things that even though money can't fix it, that's all the system lets us try to get for it. There's no way a court can say, I order you to be pain-free, or I order you to get the ability to walk or talk or do all sorts of things you used to do to get. They can't do that. All they can do is to try to figure out a way to compensate you for those life-changing injuries. And if you're looking for someone who knows this system better than anybody else and has the ability to do it, you got to call Dan Kaplis. And it's not just him. I mean, yes, the success, the 5 in a row multi-million dollar verdicts that no one's ever heard of in Colorado before. Yes, he and Bobber Wahid, who's a partner of his, crushed some trucking company with the biggest outcome in the history of the state of Colorado. That's all true. But it's not those big headline-getting cases. This guy does it day to day on all cases for all people. If you're looking for someone who's going to rush to a quick kill and just get you a little bit of money and move on like a mill, then don't call Dan. Call Dan when you're like, I'm in this for the long haul. This is going to affect me forever. I need to get the most out of this possible. If you can get justice, Dan will help you get it. Give him a call at the number we've had for 100 years here, 303-907-5003, 303-907-5003. You can also look him up at Dan Kaplis, C-A-P-L-I-S, DanKaplisLaw.com. When we come back, you, me, the phones, 303-696-1971, already starting to fill up. George Brockler, George Show, 710 KNUS. You want to sing along with Billy? Let's just let this play out. We'll do the whole song. Are we going to at least get to a little Steve Perry? We don't even get to. Hold on. Nope, you're right. God bless it. Sing along.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world.
We lost about 10 listeners right there. George Brockler back with you. On the George Show, 710 KNUS, getting to go right back to the phone lines. Johnny Johnson, you're on 710. What do you think?
Hey, man, I love listening to you interview, and I wish they can clone you, take you over to NPR, and do the same interview over there, because I have a young lady, like, I think she's like 24 years old,
yeah.
And she's working for me writing grants, and I said, do you know that we're number one with car thefts? And she says, we are?
What?
And she looked out the window to see if her car was still there. And I'm thinking, like, you don't know that?
Wow. It doesn't shock you, though, does it? That the mainstream media, and I think that most of the big channels have reported on this stuff, but lightly. Do you know what I mean? Like, if it was someone else, if it was Governor Heidi Ganahl, as it will be, they would be on her doorstep every day. Hey, 10 more cars stolen. Hey, 10 more cars stolen. Do you know we average 4,000 stolen cars a month? Now, I've done the math. That's more than, what, 12, 13 cars a day that just get taken. Actually, you know what? That's more than 100 cars a day. Holy smokes. That's more than 130 cars a day. And forgive me for my math teacher out there if you're still alive. I just forgot there was another zero in there. That's a ton of cars stolen every day.
And I wanted to add this one thing. I know Priscilla, she just got interviewed by this gentleman at NPR, and I want to know, is it going to be a hit job, or is it going to be something that he really tries to get the essence of who she is as a Republican and what we stand for, or would it just be another one of those?
Who did this interview?
It's a gentleman at NPR.
Ryan Warner?
He was looking for, like, you know, black. I don't remember.
He's kind of the main guy out there. He really does a nice job. I have no doubts he's a lefty guy, but super professional, very polite, easy to work with, nice guy. I don't know what kinds of questions he'll ask or how they'll edit it, but good guy. Does a nice job interviewing. Very pleasant voice, too.
All right. Just get us out there. It's hard for me to listen to these left-wing stations.
I know.
But I do just to see what they're thinking. But, you know, it's like, we got to preach to not only the choir, but
I know.
Get our message out.
My guess is they've spent more time on a Supreme Court abortion decision that has zero impact on the state of Colorado's abortion law than they have on the fact that we're losing 130 cars a day to car thieves. My guess is they've spent more time on abortion than they have on, and they probably spent no time on the fact that Governor Polis signed into law, a year ago, a law that reduced the penalty for someone losing a $2,000 or less car down to a misdemeanor. I mean, that's crazy.
Oh, man. I hope they get a chance to debate. I mean, get this man in the corner and see him be the mouse that he is and back up what he's doing.
I think he's really smart and pragmatic. Again, I don't want to dismiss our political opponents based on a lack of intellect. I think it's there. We just have different values, and we have different ways to approach the solutions to problems.
Yeah.
But I am anxious to see how he would respond. Because, you know, you saw Sean Boyd on that clip that we played before about the Colorado Koshback or what. In fact, you know what? Now that you're here, let's just do this, Jenny. Hang on.
And we're here today because Colorado cash back checks are already in the mail system.
That is how Governor Polis started off a press conference to tout checks that in any other year but an election year, we would call Tabor refunds. The very refunds Polis tried to get rid of right after he was elected when he pushed for the passage of Proposition CC, which would have eliminated the spending caps under Tabor.
You're calling this Colorado cashback. It's a Tabor refund. Why not just be honest with people? Why call it Colorado cashback?
Well, the press is calling it Colorado cashback.
No, his press releases call it that.
Where is that kind of reporting every single day?
I can't believe that.
I know. The media is calling it Colorado cashback. What? First off, what's cash?
Man. I mean, if I was his mother, I would wash his mouth. I would soak. You're a liar.
I just think that the point that you made about, liar. Hey, you want to see the debate is, I want to see the debate too. I want to see how he responds. My guess is if he's confronted with this flip-flopping on fentanyl and on the misdemeanor reform that allowed, of course, convicted drug dealers to possess guns with legal impunity here in the state of Colorado, my guess is his answer will be, well, you know, this was a bipartisan effort, as if to say, because there are wrong-headed Republicans out there, I'm free from responsibility for signing off on this travesty that has helped lead to this crime tsunami. That's crazy talk, man. Own it. Stand up and say, you know what? I relied upon the advice of my legal advisors. I had bipartisan support. I thought it was the right thing to do. But you know what? I was wrong. How refreshing would that be?
Yes. Yes. October 16th, before the ballots drop, we'd love to see that on statewide TV.
Yeah, that is in October the 16th, a very important day. That's a Sunday. Johnny, thank you so much, man. You're always a good caller. Appreciate you starting the conversation. One other thing I wanted to address is that we've had some texts come in as we were talking to Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron about Joe O'Day, and it's not the first time I've seen a text like this, but some of them are in reference to, hey, dude's not a Trump guy. He has said he doesn't want Trump to run. He also said, by the way, on Meet the Press, he doesn't want Biden to run either. And there are folks out here who are like, hey, I am a Trump guy and I am a America First guy. And therefore, I can't support Joe O'Day because it's just like voting for a Democrat. And you've sort of heard, Joe from Arvada yesterday say the same thing. I couldn't disagree more strongly. And the approach is just wrong. And this isn't just disagreement. There is no principle that would make that solution okay for the state of Colorado or for America. It cannot be that you truly see Michael Bennett and Joe O'Day as fungible, if only because one of them belongs to the Republican Party. That fact alone, even if they were the exact same human being, which they're not even close, that fact alone would make it worth voting for Joe O'Day, because the change in the leadership of the Senate is so important when you have a Democrat in the White House. If you're looking for a break on how things go, getting the House, yeah, that's a big deal. It's where all the tax bills have to originate. That's good. But you're talking about the Senate, which is the body that does things like, oh, I don't know, confirms Supreme Court justices and confirms other political appointees. Of course you don't want Chuck Schumer running that show. So even if Joe O'Day were really just Michael Bennett's twin brother who happened to be a Republican, that is reason enough to vote for him. But oh, by the way, he doesn't think and act like Michael Bennett either. I get the abortion issue. I understand that. That's reason to not be happy with his position on that. It is not a reason to not vote for him. And if you think, well, I'm not going to vote for Bennett, I'm just going to sit it out, that is a vote for Bennett. The goal here is not to find someone who thinks and believes just like you on every topic, because that person doesn't exist. It's to find the person that best represents Colorado and then at the national level for us. And that's not out of every single Coloradan who's the best. That's who has suffered through this process and put themselves in a position to make it onto the ballot to offer that opportunity. You get two choices, folks. You get Bennett and O'Day. Whatever action you take is going to benefit one and harm the other in terms of this political outcome. Vote for Joe O'Day. Dude is a small businessman. Guy hires people, pays taxes, generates wealth, builds things, has a family. Dude's a believer in adoption. He was adopted. There are 8 trillion reasons to think I want Joe O'Dea to be my U.S. senator. There are 1 or 2 where you could say, I don't really like that about him. Okay, move on. Let's go. Peyton Manning couldn't scramble to save his life. He would have been a much better quarterback if he could have run. He couldn't. Doesn't keep him from being a 2-time Super Bowl winner and Hall of Famer. Right? You're not going to get perfection. Don't cling to it. I'm going to cut away for a break. Phone lines are starting to light up at 303-696-1971. Bunch of texts coming in, too. I'll get to those as well. But we're going to get made smarter here by our friends at Alpine Planning in just a moment. George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. It is that time of the show where we get to be made smarter about what's going on in our financial markets here, there, and everywhere. To help us do that today, Brian Gray. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing good, but I don't know about the smart part, George. I got you on speakerphone because I can't figure. Oh, George, you got me?
I got you, buddy. You're right there. I've got you. I'm holding you. Can you feel me?
I got you on speaker. I feel you, but I got you on speakerphone, and I can't figure out how to get it off.
You sound great. Just yell at the car.
That's what I'll do. All right, we're starting off in the red today. We got the Dow down over 300 points. NASDAQ's down 129. S&P's down 47. Obviously, this is everything to do with the Fed. They're kicking off their 2-day policy meeting today. It looks like they're going to raise rates, George, by another 0.75%. Some people are talking as high as 1%. We're going to have to keep an eye on that. If they do raise them 0.75%, that's going to be the third straight time they have done this. So as far as buying a house, credit cards, a car loan, everything is going to be getting a lot more expensive as we move forward. And I think, you know, this is our area specialty. I think this is really going to start affecting the retirees because you're kind of on a fixed budget, so to speak. You know how much you have coming in, you know how much you can spend. But if rates keep going up, consumer goods are getting more expensive.
Yep.
It's just a matter of time. It's going to start affecting the pocketbook.
I know there's no one silver bullet for this, but if you're a retiree, I mean, and I know the message, and that is, look, stay the course largely. Don't go crazy. Don't like pull everything out of this and put it all into that. But what's your message to those folks as they begin to call you and say, Brian, what do I need to do here? I'm feeling a little anxious.
Well, you know, really, you need to take a look at the portfolio, and now it might be time as we go into the fourth quarter to start getting rid of some of these losers and actually maybe start repositioning your portfolio. We never like to sell something to lock in a loss, but sooner or later, we've got to do something to start producing more yield so we've got more money to spend.
Buddy, that's important stuff. I am anxious to see whether or not the market does anything further in response to the announcement, I think probably tomorrow, right? Whether it's 0.75 point or a full point. And I'd asked Amy this too. Do you think the market's already adjusted for that? Like they've already decided, well, whether it's 0.75 point or a point, we've already factored that into what's going on? Or do you think the market's going to react tomorrow?
I think the market's going to react, but I don't necessarily think that it's because of the rate adjustment. I think it's going to be more on consumers being hasty, so to speak, you know, overreacting to the situation. I think the market does have a lot of this already built in, but I think we're going to see people pulling the trigger a little bit too quick. And so we're going to see a reaction like that.
We don't want the emotional investor. We want the long-term smart intellectual investor.
Exactly. You got to take the emotions out of the game, especially in retirement.
Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. Investing, as always, is a matter of trust. Brian, Amy, Gabe, everybody at Alpine Planning, they are prepared to earn yours. Call them today, 303-843-0918. They will talk to you on a speakerphone, 303-843-0918. Brian, thanks so much, man.
All right, hopefully I can get this thing off speaker.
Good luck.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Now, listen, a lot of texts have come in here. I've been responding to some of them, and they're all this Trump-related stuff, like, why am I supporting candidates who don't support Trump? I'm a Trump guy. There are some comments by some who are out there seeing traction for Heidi, and they think it's related to the fact that Heidi has been labeled by the Dems in some negative ads as a Trumper, as a MAGA Republican. That's interesting to me, and I want to have that conversation with you when we come back after the top of the hour. I've got these other topics that I wanted to do, but there is one out there, almost dueling, perhaps complimentary, but almost dueling articles that are out there about how Trump is being increasingly viewed as a drag on some Republican candidacies out there in America. I'm interested to know if you think that applies here in Colorado. And then some other stuff about his poll numbers in other areas and the impact that it could have. Now, I want to have this conversation with you because I know many of you feel passionately about it. I'm a little wary of doing it because here's what I know this. This isn't a belief. I know this. The more we talk about Donald Trump, the better it does for the other side. The less we're talking about the crime tsunami, the less we're talking about the disastrous educational results that have grown out of the Democrat-driven shutdown of government and schools during the pandemic, the less we're talking about the economic disaster that we're starting to see here with this incredible inflation. We just got done talking with Brian. Another 0.75 to 1 point. Folks, we're over 6%. I mean, 6-7 months ago, we were at 3%. For mortgage rates, they're up to 6% now. They're going to go up even higher. The Fed is scrambling to try to figure out how to stop this runaway inflation. And my concern is, if you can picture an airplane, they're sending this plane into a tailspin, into it. Maybe it's just going to stall the engine, and then we're going to nosedive in. That's the concern. And so you've got these people here who are supposed to be making surgical moves, but they don't have surgical instruments. Instead, they have a hacksaw and a giant Phillips head screwdriver. That's it. And they're going to town on the economy. These are the conversations that we should be having, because that's what's at stake in this upcoming election. But instead, we're continuing, and I'm happy to do it because we need to get to the bottom of this thing. I want to have these conversations with you at 303-696-1971, and I need you to tell me why. Because I disagree, why it's a good thing for a Republican here in the state of Colorado heading into the November general election to throw their arms around Donald Trump. Is it a good thing for someone to be a quote unquote MAGA Republican, which is their term, by the way, MAGA Republican, or should they be a Colorado Republican, which may not be the same thing? And if you talk to Joe O'Day, I don't think he describes himself as a Trump guy. I don't think he's necessarily, I hate Trump, but he's definitely not a Trump guy. Will that make a difference? We'll reset this issue at the top of the hour. But you're listening to me. My name's George Brockler. We're going to have this conversation at 303-696-1971 on The George Show, right here on the mighty 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.